This episode of Last Exit to Ponyville is brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. Go to OffWorldDesigns.com to check out their wide variety of geeky and pop-culture-inspired t-shirts. Offworld Designs carries shirts from a wide variety of artists and themes, from anime to zombies and everything in between. Whether you're a brony, a follower of Great Cthulhu, or just think dragons are awesome, Offworld Designs has you covered. Use coupon code BROHOOF to receive 10% off your order. OffWorldDesigns.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Bronies, forever. Woo!
Greetings, ladies and gentle colts. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, and this is The Last Exit to Ponyville, brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. Trust me, if you're a brony, you should check out some of their cool t-shirt designs. But I'm not alone as I trek across Equestria, this time a drawn version of Equestria. I'm joined by my very own Pegasister,
Laura.
And man, you sound perky tonight. You seem in a good goddamn mood.
I'm on vacation this week.
Ooh, during March break.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, well, what the hell do you think? I've been in my pajamas all day.
Oh.
I had a shower for Trevor.
Awesome.
I brushed my teeth today for Trevor.
Honored. Thank you.
Because I was in my pajamas till about 8:30.
That's how hard. Like
my pajamas, but I had a shower and then got back in the pajamas.
It would have been great to walk up to the front door and just like scratch your ass, like, what's up?
Yeah. Boot stains?
No.
Oh. So, yeah, I was still productive. I cleaned and, you know.
Good stuff.
And, of course,
Trevor, welcome to the show again, my friend.
Thank you, sir. I am drinking bourbon.
I am having hot chocolate and somehow feel like I'm 5 years old. Yeah. Aren't I good? So, anyway, guys, yes, we are back here on The Last Exit to Ponyville, which, well, as you guys know from our last show, Season 3 has wrapped, and now we're in that long-dreaded wait until Season 4 comes out. God knows when that is. But, thankfully, we actually have something new to talk about on the show this week. We're going to be taking a look at the IDW My Little Pony comic books. We're also going to be looking at the first 4 issues, with number 5 on the way, and the first micro-series featuring Twilight Sparkle. And, well, it actually turns out I actually know one of these guys on DeviantArt, Andy Price, who does a lot of the cover work for the series, but unfortunately, I don't know him well enough to ask him for an interview, but I'll work on that at some point. So I guess let's kind of go around the table. What has everybody gotten in terms of pony merch in the last little while?
Honestly, I haven't been able to grab much. I was just at Hot Topic the other day, and to be honest, everything that I think it's because it's almost that in-between seasons kind of deal right now that they're waiting for the new merch to come in. Even on their website, things are a little sparse right now because it's between winter and it's between spring. And some of the spring stuff is starting to come in and some of the winter stuff is starting to go. And we're just in a bit of a lull for new stuff. So hopefully soon, although the new Blind Pack ponies are out in full force right now. So definitely worth it. Series 6 is out for Blind Pack in North America right now.
Are you seeing good sales of pony merch in your store?
Oh, goodness. Yes. The comic is still selling like hotcakes. And the best part is, like, we ordered really high on it for like a kid's comic. But we knew, A, for like the brony community, it would be a big seller. And it is. And then we knew that as a series, it's going to be a great series for... I could still sell it in 5 years to, you know, a little boy or girl who comes in who wants a great, like, adventure story for a comic. So we made sure we ordered enough that we would hopefully not sell out. But we've sold a lot of it.
There you go.
And what about you, Trevor? Have you picked up anything cool in the last little while?
Myself? No, like in our household, Steph, my girlfriend, is the major collector of the toys, and she hasn't really added anything to her arsenal, but for myself personally, I have gone out and got the comic books for myself. That is something that I have done, and I patron Laura's store, and I was just there last Saturday.
That was funny.
I go there. It was a Saturday, I was in a good mood, I got a paycheck, like I got a freelance paycheck came in. I was in the money. I'm like, I'm going to go buy something. And so it's noon on Saturday. I'm like, I'm going to go to Big Big Comics.
It's like 1:30.
Like, see hi to Laura. And like, you know, do talks about stuff and things. And I get there and she's not there. And so I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to be a normal customer and just buy comics. So By the time I got there, it was pretty sparse in terms of selection and cover selection. So I kind of just had to grab whatever was available that you had left and leave. But then, as I paid for my purchases, I was texting Laura and letting her know that I was at the store. And she said, oh, I'm just having lunch with Mike across the street. I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. I was going to see them later that night. So I'm like, okay, making plans, see at 6, whatever. I leave the store, get into my car, and then decide, oh, I should text Laura about the carpool arrangements for later that evening. And anyway, as I'm texting, from the corner of my eye, oops, just dropped all my comics. So from the corner of my eye, picture this. Well, I had a pretty good solid drink on like an empty stomach. So this podcast may get interesting, folks. Anyway, so picture this. You're sitting in your car. You're looking at your phone. And suddenly, out of the corner of your eye, a wild hobo. That's what it looked like to me. Right? Just from the corner of my eye, it's like smashing against my window, both hands up, face pressed against the glass. I was like full on fight or flight mode.
It was definitely flight, you freak.
I may have screamed slightly, just a little bit. I may have, but that was like my, you know, get up and go mode. I was ready to, you know, punch through the glass. Anyway, it was Laura. Anyway, so I turned to look at her smiling, smug face as she guffawed and laughed at me, and so that was good. She definitely got me.
Hey, Trevor. Yeah. Speaking of Mr. Mike, kind of, would you like anything from Tim Hortons?
Oh.
I got him to get me last night a white hot chocolate cafe mocha. White hot chocolate cafe mocha, and it was caffeine, right? Was to die for. I'm on vacation. I could have caffeine at 2 a.m. if I wanted. What? I'm also addicted, so it'll do no good. This just gets me to normal.
I love how excited you are. One of the things I got this week.
It's been a while.
Once again.
It's awesome!
Once again, much like Trevor, I had a really big freelance gig come through this past week. Thank God. Came at just the right time, and I was able to pick up the 2-pack exclusive of Shining Armor and Princess Cadence from Target. That I'm looking forward to again. I also got the Doctor Who's and Fluttershy from Hot Topic, which will be in the Ponyville gift shop a little later on in the show. Let you know what I think about those. And then Blair got me this monstrosity. It's something known as the Walking Talking Pinkie Pie. And I'm gonna play a little sound sample for you. Because this thing is... Jesus!
Let's have a party!
It's gonna keep talking. Let's see, there it goes. Oh god, now it's walking.
I love to laugh, especially with friends. Let me hear your silliest laugh.
It keeps. Okay, now I gotta shut this thing off because it's fucking possessed. My cat, Dr. Wily, is actually physically terrified of this, but he'll walk up to it, bat it, scoot back, wait for her to laugh at him again, and then he'll play this game for about 5 to 10 minutes. Wow. It's terrifying.
I was going to just ask you, does the head spin around?
Oh, it does. It actually bubbles. So if you put it on a nice hardwood floor, it walks and talks and it'll probably eat your soul in your sleep. So
do you like keep it in your bedroom or in the closet under like lock and key at night? Or
I keep it in my room next to Optimus Prime because I figured he could probably take her out if worse came to the worse. But God.
Just envisioning you lying in bed. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And then just out of the corner of the room, it's like, come and play with me.
Oh, my God. Okay, I've got a story about that. Okay, so Blair and I, a couple months ago, we went on Craigslist or Kijiji or something, and we found a person who was selling My Little Pony. And we bought this toy, and it was a baby Pinkie Pie. It has, like, a diaper and, like, a little backpack. It's meant to be, like, a kid's toy, right? So we bought it to sit on the back of our couch. You know, it's Pinkie Pie. It looks cool. Blair thought the thing didn't have any batteries in it. So she's driving home. It's probably around 9 or 10 at night. It's dark at this point. And all she hears as she's going down this dark country road is, come play with me. And she's like, what? She's like, ah. She's like, what the fuck was that? And it's Pinkie Pie talking to her.
I love
Yeah, and then she's like, I love to play, and immediately scenes of the fucking first Child's Play movie start coming to life. And it's just the creepiest thing. I don't even know where this thing is in my house right now. We've nicknamed it Creepy Pie, because that's what it is. So never buy the creepy My Little Pony Pinkie Pie. It's terrible. You know, I should do that for a review sometime on this show, because it will terrify you.
But
we have rattled on for nearly 10 minutes here, so let's take a break here on the show. We are talking the IDW comics. But first and foremost, let's talk to our good friends over at Equestria Daily. This is Serial Velocity.
Are you loco in the cocoa?
3, 2, 1, ponies. I'm still Serial. Sorry I wasn't here last week. I'm sure you guys missed me. I missed you too, but I was stuck in Dallas. Not the best place to be stuck in, if we're honest. But I'm here now, and that's all that matters. Listen to my voice. Let's do the news. Lauren Faust, previous producer for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, has joined the Main 6 development team. For those unaware, Main 6 is that team that received a cease and desist from Hasbro regarding their Fighting is Magic game because it was using their IP, and apparently they took some offense to that. Confirmed by both Lauren and the team themselves, she has joined them to make some original characters for that game so they can sidestep that C&D. Release date still not announced, hopefully something cool comes out of that. Wave 8 blind bags are now available from Tesco. There's a neon theme to these, and we're seeing some collector ponies we haven't seen in these packs before, like Gilda and Cadence. Again, available at Tesco, go grab those, super cool. And one more toy news bit, Dr. Hoof and Fluttershy vinyl figures now available for order from Tesco, like the Rainbow Dash and the Derpy ones, super high quality vinyl figures. They're awesome toys. Go grab them right now. They're pretty cheap. Super cool. And that's pretty much all that happened. I'm still Serial. This is still ponies. And I'm still not wearing any pants. Catch you later.
But I thought you wanted whining!
Many thanks, as always, to our dear, dear friend Serial Velocity at Equestria Daily. We always love hearing from you.
I feel bad that he got stuck in Dallas after that whole PonyCon a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that whole thing, like, just reading about it, it's just kind of, like, I can't believe it. And, like, from what I've heard, is Tara Strong is off doing cons, at least for a while, because of the whole experience and everything. And I can understand why. I mean, you know, like, if you showed up for work and you found out you had to pay to be there, I mean, I'd be a little mad.
That situation right there is what you call bad news bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be too happy. Now, I actually know the agent that Tara Strong goes through, and it's not surprising that I would imagine he's probably trying to protect her from crap like this, but Tara Strong also said something along the lines of, now I can spend more time with my kids, I miss a karate tournament for this, or something, so I completely get that, so...
It's important.
But I know this coming weekend, it's this weekend, next weekend, PAX East weekend, oddly enough, there's the Big Apple Pony Con, and I know Libman's going to be there, which, well, that should be good. I mean, she's represented by somebody up here in Canada, so...
I think it just needs a good experience to balance out the bad experience, right? Well, actually, it takes...
I mean, she must have had, like, dozens of good experiences.
Well, that's really. But it only takes one bad experience to outdo, like, 100 good ones.
Put a bad taste in your mouth?
Yeah, so, like, one bad apple kind of deal, right? So
my guess is she'll go to the cons that have either a really good reputation, proven themselves, or have a lot of money up front afford to pay.
Know if anyone's received any kind of sort of restitution or...
See, I kind of stopped following the story, but I know there was a huge outpouring from the community, and I know they raised over, I think it was $7,500, if not more. I know artists were donating work, people from the official show were donating stuff. I think one of the musicians, Daniel Ingram, did something as well. I'm pretty sure I fucked up his name. But, there was a lot of people doing stuff. So if anybody knows what was the final result of that, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. We'd love to hear
from for you. Sure.
And, before we get into today's topic, like I said, today's topic, we're going to be talking about the IDW comics. We asked you on our call-in line, which is 817-717-7202, what you thought of the comics. And here's what you had to say on this edition of The Last Exit to Ponyville.
Hi, your phone is ringing. Are you going to answer it? Because if you don't answer it soon, I'm going to get kind of annoyed.
I just want to say I really love the comics you guys do. And I just said, I'm only the first two, but I got the whole collection right now, and I'm really psyched to see it, to read it right now. So I just want it's great, and just keep it up. I think it's awesome. Thanks.
Hey, guys. I really am enjoying how the comic series is going. I'm glad that we're getting some more character development for villains like Chrysalis and even some of the main six. It's pretty funny, and I'm really happy they're not held back by things like how Joe is held back by, well, ratings and such. We're really getting some more, a bit of older-themed type of thing with the characters, and I really love it. It's got some hilarious things, and I can't wait to see more of it. Well, see you guys later.
Drop this call like a bass!
I want to thank everybody for all their call-ins. I absolutely love listening to what the people have to say. And it's really nice that people have taken the time to like call in and like taking time out of their day just to let us know how they feel about like the ponies and our show. And it really means a lot that everybody has like put in that effort.
Makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. The warm tinglies.
Gives me the good warm tinglies, or that could be the bourbon.
It's probably a little bit of both there, Trevor.
A little bit of both.
Nice combo platter.
But definitely, please continue to call, and we love hearing from you, seriously.
Now, we actually did get a email response, and this is coming from the Crazy Bunny 56. And it says, Ponyville, my answer to your question. What do you think of the IDW comic series so far? Are you impressed, disappointed, or indifferent? His response is, I must say that overall, I have thoroughly enjoyed the MLP FIM comics book series, and very impressed at the amount of detail, story, jokes, and everything else Katie and Andy put into it. The art style is very lovely as well. Colorful, gives off expressions, and you can tell what's happening and how the main six and every pony is reacting, feeling, etc. All put into a comic. This is still imagery and not animation. Superb. Those are my thoughts on the comic book series. Just to summarize it, I love it. Thanks, and stay awesome, every pony. Bro hoofs to y'all.
I'm bro hoofing you right now. Can you feel it?
Thank you very much, Jake. You know what? That's something I guess we'll kind of start our discussion right here. I was very surprised how well My Little Pony translates into comics. Now, admittedly, I was not blown away by the first issue. It took me till about issue probably 3 before I'm like, all right, this is really starting to click with me. And it wasn't until the micro series, which we'll probably talk about a little bit later in this discussion, that really caught my attention as, wow, this is actually tremendously well done.
I would say it grabbed my attention the first couple pages of the first issue. And I would further say, sir, that I think it translates even better. That's right, I said it. I think it's actually the writing, and they seem to get away with a lot more in the comics.
Yeah.
And that's what I love. There's more references. There's more little Easter eggs.
I think that's that you can hide the Easter eggs a lot easier when it's like it's someone like drawing it and someone inking it and da da da, rather than like a whole team in like Korea doing it on like in I think it's Flash.
No, they're in this.
Whatever, with the whole team that's animating it for the series,
yeah.
It's a lot easier for one guy as he's drawing out a panel to be like, I'm going to stick my buddy Joe right here in the corner, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm going to put in the Blues Brothers ponies up in this balcony, you know, as a little, you know.
It's a lot easier to kind of like do that, especially if you've got like an artist like they've gotten. Who kind of understands, you know, what references I think the readers probably want to see.
I definitely think they can get away with a lot more than of course, broadcast, you know, television. I think there's, you know, broadcast TV, there's more people involved and there's more. It's a committee thing, right? It has to go through so many different people. It gets filtered out. And it's amazing. What we get is great. But with the comics, I feel that I was reading the comic and I said out loud to Steph, my girlfriend, I said, this is what I want the shows to be.
Yeah.
It had a tinge of, it had a little tinge of Animaniac.
It did. It did.
In some instances. And I was like, but it's, to summarize my thoughts, the comics are great. I think it's what I've been wanting to see in like season 3. All the, you know, the pony references and the sort of Easter eggs and things of that nature. And so, Laura, tell me your thoughts.
I feel the exact same way. I mean, the one complaint about the first 4 issues I have, like at first I thought the series was supposed to, and I think when it was first solicited, it was supposed to be a 6-part series, but I think because of the really positive response, they've extended it. Like, I was actually looking at my solicits page from my retailer distributor page and seeing if I could find anything to back up my thoughts on that, but unfortunately I couldn't. But anyway, I did find that the end of the story arc was a little fast. Like, it just kind of, like
it,
we said,
it just happened.
It just kind of happens, which I think has been a common complaint with MLP the last little bit. But you got to admit, endings are hard. It's hard to do an ending that people enjoy. But I liked the throwaway ending to Spike and Celestia. I was giggling at that.
Yeah, that's something that I kind of like, that out of the two of the four issues, they include these little side stories right at the end there. And Spike's is like, oh yeah, I had a trident, I fought cockathrices, I'm awesome. And oh yeah, I got a mare. I got a big medal too. So how was your day?
Now that was the thing. I really hope the trident was a nod to Anchorman. Like, did anybody else kind of think it's like all of a sudden he's got a trident and it's like...
Brick killed a guy.
Yeah.
I thought of Aquaman personally. But, I mean, one of the references that I caught is when they're... I think it's in the second issue. They're going through the underground cavern and the troll has Optimus Prime on the wall there. And I don't know if it's supposed to be Prime's body, it's supposed to be a toy or what, but I was just... flipping through it and I'm reading them, thinking, what? Why the hell does he have Optimus Prime there? And then in the fourth issue, there is an Evil Dead reference, Indiana Jones. Actually, I'm actually going to pull that issue right now.
Is a Wizard of Oz reference in episode issue 3?
Yeah, I mean, I think because IDW, they hold so many licenses, they can get away with this just because.
They have, that's basically 90% of their product right now is all licensed. It might even be closer to 95% of their product is licensed material.
Okay.
That's why they're doing so. Most of their lineup is licensed. They have very few original titles, and it's working really well for them.
Are they doing the Jericho comics?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I picked those up on Saturday, too.
I can find out.
I find IDW books have a very distinct artwork, so you probably should know. I'm just looking at these couple panels right now. I think Pinkie Pie's, I think I could make an argument that's a H.P. Lovecraft reference. There's Indiana Jones, It surprised the hell out of me. The Shining, Evil Dead, even with the I'll Swallow Your Soul reference, Phantom of the Opera, and yeah, I was really surprised they would put It in there, actually, with Pennywise the Clown, where we all float down here.
Well, I think they do realize that because...
it's not kids reading these necessarily.
There's an adult audience, so they can definitely throw these things in there.
Now, it's not like... I'm not sure if I heard you right. It's definitely not just adults reading it. Like, we sell, I would say, about 60% to kids and about 40% to adults.
Oh, can I just say that when I was buying the comics, as I went up there to make my purchase... I was surrounded by other individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes a brony gets some flack for, you know, his fandom. But there was this gentleman behind and he says, so, he looks at me and I turn around and goes, so you're an actual brony. You're an honest to goodness brony. And I look at him dead in the eyes, Laura, and I said, yes. I didn't make some lame ass excuse like, oh, these are for my girlfriend. I looked him dead in the eyes. These are for me. Because I enjoy ponies.
And what did he say?
And he said, that's cool, man. Yeah, I listened to a podcast about Kevin Smith about bronies. And I said, oh, yeah, I hope he wasn't disparaging. He's like, no, man, it's cool. You know, this is really interesting. You know, whatever. Teach their own. I'm like,
that's a good very, attitude. Very yeah. rarely. Like, and I think that's a big part. Like, we occasionally get.
Well, he was a nerd. So he's going to be accepted.
It's you know what? I find it's actually the people who smack talk it the most are the ones where you'd look at them and, like, just on the street and, like, you'd go, nerd! Because seriously, I find that they are the, and I think we're hearing a lot more about this, and this is a topic for another day, but a lot more of, like, nerds have become almost the bully in some manner.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like with the whole adding sports to Fan Expo, the main reaction I've heard. Yeah, careful. Careful.
That is a sacrilege.
No, see, and that's what I'm hearing. It's like people are like, oh, we don't want jocks at our con. They don't belong. It's like, you know what you sound like? You sound like the guys who picked on you in high school. So maybe everybody should just be allowed to have fun and enjoy what they
want.
It's
our turn, dang it.
No, it's called Fan Expo. It's not called Comic Con. It's called not called Nerd Bros. It's
maybe
called
you should make a con called Laura's Knows Everything Con.
No, I'm just saying. As you were saying that it was nice that someone accepted you for being a brony, I think that is a message that we could apply to anything.
It's what the show implies.
Legals. Right? Legal. Anything legal.
Yeah. No.
I mean, it's funny how there's this whole new sense of geek elitism that's really seemed to pop up in the last couple of years.
I find the main people that I get at the store who are like, brownies are weird, are the ones who are like, dude, look in the mirror.
Yeah, look at yourself.
Look at your life, look at your choices, and then decide who you're going to
be. I can
start
a grease fire on your face.
Yeah.
You know what's weird?
Hey, you could start a grease fire on my face sometimes, okay?
Hey, I wasn't saying anything.
Anyway.
Your
tits.
Yes.
I'm just going to say it.
I'm trying to keep a PG here, Mike.
Okay, we've already said fuck, like, I don't know how many times.
Well, anyway. But mostly I find people at the shop are very, very cool about bronies. I mean, because they're there to buy, you know, it's like any other fandom, which is nice. And it's good that it has its own comic, you know, it gets more people into the shop.
Trevor, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mike, go ahead.
Okay, I was about to say, last week I was on MTV Creeps, and I was picked because I was a brony, and surprisingly on Twitter, where normally you'd expect a lot of people to make fun of bronies, I got a lot of really weird support about it. There was only, out of all the comments on Twitter, there were only that were too negative against bronies, and I actually replied both of them, and I never got a response back, which is kind of funny. And even on the MTV Facebook page, nobody made fun of me for being a brony. I didn't even get a fat joke. That's weird.
No, it's good, man.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's kind of sad that we have to say, oh, that's weird.
When you first said that you were going to go on the show, I was really worried for you, actually.
Oh, so was I. I didn't know what I was going to be walking into.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be really horrible towards you, or but because you never know, because on camera they could be nice to you, but off camera on the interviews they could be like, that Mike's a friggin' idiot, and he smells. And
you know what? I guess I have more faith in humanity because I was I think Dodd's going to do really well, and I didn't have any of those worries.
Yeah, it was. I was really surprised how well they actually treated us as a community, because when they asked me to explain bronies to them, I said it's a community that's really about emphasizing friendship and being good to one another. And it's, I think I said something along the lines, it's kind of funny that we demonize a show that does this, yet we idolize shit like The Simpsons and Family Guy.
Or Call of Duty.
Or Call of Duty or something like that. So, whatever. But back to the comics. How about
we talk about the art?
Yes.
We haven't really touched on the art at all.
Okay, I want to ask, because I think one of the first things that you notice about the comic, which is one time that you can say you can judge a book by its cover, because with a comic, it has to have a good cover. Now, each issue has different covers. The first issue had six covers plus a whole bunch of other variants. I want to know which ones you guys picked.
I actually had someone buy me the Derpy Hooves Midtown comics. I don't know whether I have it or I've lost it, but god damn it. But I think Midtown Comics gets the best variant covers out of all the retailers. Maybe Hastings would be the second one. I bought when, because Laura picked this up for me through the store, she got me the box set of the first six.
Because it was the exact same price to get the box set as it is to get each of the individual issues, which is really cool. Plus, you get that nice slipcover if you couldn't choose.
Now, do they do this for every issue or just the first one?
Just the first one has the multiple ones, but every issue has had retailer exclusives. Now, how are these retailer exclusives? Okay, so first of all, Trevor, which variant did you pick for number one?
Rarity, obviously.
And I went with Twilight Sparkle.
Obviously.
So, but yes, each cover, and if you look in the back of each issue, there is a spot that'll show you on the last page which other covers are available. And I really like the Jetpack comics from number 4. I think that, and the Larry Scott. But yeah, there is a way.
Do Jetpack and Larry's always seem to have like?
I think so. I think they're like
tag
tied.
Team kind of.
I think they're kind of like united in some way. But you to do that, you can actually any comic store, any store really can do that. You just need to order a certain amount of comics to be able to do that, and then
how many comics do you reckon they'd have to?
I think it's about 5,000 you have to do, because what they I know for what it is for Diamond Comics, which is the only distributor of comics, you have to have 5,000 copies for them to distribute it. So I think it's 5,000 you have to order for them to get like solicit a store exclusive variant. So for the first issue, there's a whole bunch. Even Hot Topic got on board and has their own variant for that as well. So it is definitely doable. You just got to be willing to pay. Now, how stores make up for this cost, because obviously you have to pay for each issue, and each issue is probably going to be cost the retail around $2.
Yeah.
So that's if it's 5,000 copies, you're looking at $10,000.
So, Laura, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
How many of a single issue comics do you think you move? You know, like how many issue 2 comics, Rick, and you ordered, and did you sell them all?
We
know you do the ordering.
Yeah, we like for number 1, we ordered 200 copies plus variants plus the slipcovers. So all together, we had probably about 250 copies.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not sold out. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, and
because I know you have 3 stores now.
Yeah, that's just for the one store. That's just for the one store. We have not sold out. But
there might be an opportunity here to launch.
And the other thing being with this, and you could talk to your own local store about this, if you think you can like convince them to do it, because the other thing being, if they order enough, like how to recoup that cost, what they do after the fact, once they've gotten so many, they place their order, they can then solicit through the Diamond Comics distributor their variant. But instead of their variant costing the store the normal cost based on the $3.99 cover, some of these covers that I've seen Dynamic Forces covers cost retailers $100, anywhere from $10
to $100.
Holy cow. So obviously that cost gets passed on to the customer, but that way these stores can recoup the cost of having these exclusive covers done. By then, it's not so exclusive because down the road other stores will get it too.
See, it's pretty helpful having a comic book store manager here on the podcast with us, because I don't know, like, this is some insider knowledge right here.
Dude,
I understood about half that.
I can show you everything Pony coming out through Diamond Comics for the next 4 months.
So Bigby Comics has three locations.
Yep. Barry, Hamilton, and Niagara Falls.
If you bought 5,000 comics, I reckon, because people like Dodd who go after these variants, you could probably move some of these things online.
Yeah, for sure. We would be selling them online if we were to do it. eBay, for sure. And then we'd go through the distributor and sell a bunch that way, too, because stores do want to get all the variants because they have customers who want them all, too.
It'd be worth looking into.
I have tried.
You know what you should do? You should do it in conjunction with Fan Expo.
Have Mike draw the cover.
That's a good call. Now, that's the one thing. I don't know how it goes for getting an artist to do it. Yeah. That's the one aspect of it I'm not quite sure.
Oh, yeah, because,
because that's the thing. They might, if you order, say, 10,000 of these copies from IDW, the publisher, they might be like, yeah, we got this. We'll design you a nice cover. And then maybe you get, like, a final edit. Or you have to supply your own artist and have it approved by them or da-da-da-da-da. I mean, I don't think it would be that hard to get a Brony artist to make you a really nice cover. For cheap, for the exposure.
Yeah, and considering how many talented artists exist out there on DeviantArt, yeah, there's no shortage of really talented people.
So I'm not quite sure how the artist angle of it works, but it is definitely doable. But just not so your store needs to order a lot of them if you want. So if you're pestering your store and wondering why they're not doing it for you, like
hope you got $10,000.
Yeah. So Trevor, you see this one here, and it says DF. You don't even get to see the cover. DF, My Little Pony number 3 exclusive cover. That's my cost right there. Is $19.83.
Wow. What?
Yeah, that's how much that for one would cost me.
Now I can order that if I want to through you, correct?
Yes.
And but it's only going to cost me $20.
With shipping, da-da-da-da-da, markup.
You got to put your markup
You're probably going to be paying about $40 for it.
Ouch. Now, out of all the variant covers, which issues do you guys have in front of you?
I have,
I can't find my 1 and 2.
I left my 1 and 2 behind because I thought you'd have them.
Okay, well, let's go to number...
That's okay, I can bring them up on the site.
Okay, we all have number 3, so let's start with, like, that one, I guess.
Okay, so number 3, I'll start because I got there...
Late.
They're pretty late in the game. I got stuck with the Pinkie Pie and Twilight ice skating cover.
Dude, yeah. We totally have lots of the crystals left. You just need to look.
You need to organize
your store. Use your eyeballs. They were right beside each other.
Listen, it's not my first rodeo. I have eyeballs. There was nothing. I looked.
I would like to know who's the artist who does most of the Midtown Comics. Because I know Midtown Comics, they're that really big store in New York, right?
Yep.
There are, like I just said earlier, all their variants look fantastic. I really wish I'd gotten the Doctor Who's one for number 2.
Their number 1 is by Amy Meverson. Then number 2, they didn't do a number 2. Oh, no, they did. Is by Amy Meverson.
I sense a pattern.
Number 3 is by Amy Meverson. Number 4. It looks like number 4 might not have got one from them.
No, they have another 4. It just looks, I think.
That's okay. Either way, so they have gone through that artist to get their, whether, again, they did it or not.
Yeah, they have like a number
4 they did.
Crystal Pony thing. So, Mike.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you could order 5,000 comics get your own variant cover, what would your variant cover have on it?
I would like to get I would love to get a cover with Doctor Who's and do a play on all the 11 Doctors. That's what I would like.
Same question to you, Laura.
Oh, if I were to have one with anything on it, I'm not artistic enough to think of something like that. I don't know.
Use your brain muscles.
I don't know. I'm trying to. That's just so huge. You know what? Just for something different, yeah. I might go like Spike rocking a cover all to himself.
Yeah,
that's good. That'd be kind of cool. Spike sitting on the Game of Thrones throne or something. That might be actually kind of badass.
I'd be comparing him to Godfrey or whatever his name is.
Joffrey,
thank you.
Or if I had more money to produce other variants, I would like to get pony versions of famous video game covers. Like, or maybe famous other franchise. I would love to see someone, actually, I almost want to commission Mike to draw this for me, is I'd love to get a parody of the X-Men Days of Future Past.
Oh, that would be cool.
Like, someone must have done this somewhere at some time. That would
be really cool, actually.
It's probably already done.
But no, that's awesome.
Now, we need to make this happen. So, any pony artists out there that can do this, Mike at thisweekingeek.net, let's talk. Because I've got some coin.
Okay, so...
Or bits, rather.
I want to know what cover you guys picked for number 2. I went with the actual... The 1 in 10 variant by Stephanie Buscema. That's got the sparkle cover, because I thought that was really cute, even though I can't find it right now.
I'm looking for it right now. The one that I got was Pinkie Pie and Rainbow Dash, as picked by you, Laura. I really like the one by cover A, or RA1, which is by Stephanie Buscema. I just like the styles of the pony there. Plus, the colors really pop.
Retailer incentive number 1. That's a 1 in 10 variant. That's the one.
I like that cover.
Yeah, IDW puts RI1 on their covers, RI2, blah, 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 blah. That's how you know what the incentive covers are.
See, I kind of wish they'd do posters of some of these covers, because I think I remember someone selling posters of covers on, like, eBay or something. So they're probably not real. But that's the one that I picked.
Oh, I totally forgot. Number 2 was the issue that had the 1 in 25 variant for that one was a pack of tattoos, temporary tattoos. I might have gotten dared by my coworkers to make a sleeve out of these tattoos. So I definitely had a full arm sleeve consisting of 3 different tattoos. It was Pinkie Pie, Applejack, and Twilight Sparkle, and my arm was covered.
I retweeted that shiz.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous. I can't. I was dared, man.
I think my number two cover, wasn't it? It was like, I don't have it in front of me, but maybe you could find it. It was like they're in a forest. I think it was Rarity and Pinkie Pie and spiders or something.
Yeah, like, they all have the covers. Each have like the main three covers have spiders on them.
Okay, so I had one of those.
Number three, I think, actually got probably some of the best covers.
No.
Like, that Chrysalis cover, that's a really cool-looking piece of artwork. Like, it really kind of grew on me the more that I stared at it. I mean,
nice.
I'm so jealous.
It looks fucking cool. I mean, I look how evil Fluttershy looks. She looks like a Fluttershy version of Carnage or Venom, actually.
Totally. No, that's okay. I'm really upset that I don't have this variant. This is cover A?
This is cover B. Damn it!
Okay, so yeah, as you now know, for issue 3, I had the lame cover B with the ice skating, and not the kick-ass...
Yeah, it looks pretty great. I'm pretty impressed with myself.
Upset by this.
Although looking at number four, the retailer incentive cover looks really nice too. That one I didn't get. Laura, I got this from my local shop, The Gauntlet in Orangeville, who will now be my official supplier. Sorry, Laura.
Okay. If they're closer to you and you live nowhere, I can't fault you for that, dude.
It's good to support your local business.
Yeah, as long as you're supporting your local business, I'm happy. As long as people aren't just jumping to Amazon, you know, I'm more than supportive of you supporting your local shop.
Although, looking in the back of the book as well, we can see all the other retailer covers. The Jetpack and Larry comics look really nice this month because
loved those, too.
Those look cool. What the hell is with the other way? It just looks blank.
I don't know what the hell's, like, it's just
Fluttershy
tries.
Okay, now I can explain that one. Okay. What happened was...
Is it a sticker book thing?
No. One, it's a blank cover, so what you can do with the blank covers, you can take it to a con and have an artist, like Katie Cook was at the recent Comic-Con, be like, Katie, please draw me a cover. And, get there to do that. You'd probably have to pay, but still.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
But the framework, I kind of think, is a play on something Marvel did a couple years ago where they released a whole bunch of variant covers that were like that and would have like Marvel characters doing that. So it might be a bit of both.
Dynamic Forces has Queen Chrysalis and Twilight Sparkle like going at it.
That looks really cool, too.
They're murdering each other on the cover. That looks pretty sweet.
Although I think the best one that I think represents just what the series is about, or at least the feel of the show, I actually think is the Hastings cover.
Yeah, it's very sweet.
Really nice.
Yeah.
It's nice, it's sweet, and it looks a lot like the animation that you'd see on the actual show itself.
I mean, when you look at the covers with Celestia and Luna, they're like in full battle PvP gear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're ready to throw down and do some damage, which is really great, which is really cool to see.
If I ever got another pony tattoo, it might very well be of Nightmare Moon in that particular pose, because that just looks fucking
cool. It's really cool,
It's really cool, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I can definitely get behind it. I mean, unicorns, well, alicorns, whatever. Awesome!
So basically, to summarize my comic collection, I really don't have any interesting variants. I usually have cover Bs and nothing too special.
Hey, you never know, because the Chrysalis one was more popular now.
What is this?
This is the Micro Series.
Yeah, and I guess we should talk about that because we're starting to run down to the last little bit of the
show. Okay, so
I haven't read this, so you two go nuts.
Micro Series. IDW's done this before. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ones have been pretty popular.
And Transformers.
Transformers. What they do is they focus on a specific character. And this is a six-part series, but again, who knows? It could continue because I would absolutely love for a bunch of... They were going to do like a four-part series for the TMNTs. Oh my goodness, but it was so popular that they extended it to a bunch of minor characters, and I would love to see minor characters in the spotlight for a bunch of micro series.
Like Vinyl Scratch, Doctor Who.
Yes! Yeah. Sure. Like, so they're going to do the main six first of all, and each issue is about them. So this is about Twilight Sparkle before she went to Ponyville. Really good, and again, a whole bunch of choice of covers, exclusives, on the back. So you've got that Larry's comic, a Jetpack comic with Twilight Sparkle in the framework. It's really sweet. A lot of cute covers again, but the story is all about Twilight kind of learning about, you know, her favorite author, and it's just really cute. And it was her learning that, you know, she doesn't have to hide away in books a little more and everything. It was a good issue. They're going to do one for each season. I think Rainbow Dash is the next one that they're doing. But like I said, I would absolutely love if it did well. And, you know, in 6 months we see one that's got some Big Macintosh.
That would actually be really neat to see him. Or maybe...
Fun?
It would be, actually.
What about if they did Granny Smith's early days?
Yeah.
Well, they did a retrospect, like a history.
Yeah, so that might be...
I wouldn't say no.
That would be kind of a cool little three-issue miniseries. Here's the history of the Apple family.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Hopefully it happens, but I picked my cover, my Twilight Sparkle cover, because it was the one that said fan fiction, Spike Keep Out on it.
It's really nice. It's really good. Yeah.
So that was the, because they were both really good covers, but I was like, that's the deal for me right there. The fact that Twilight's writing fan fiction is, it's canon now. It's canon.
One thing I will say about the micro series, the writing seems a lot tighter. I guess because they only have to focus on one or two characters in it.
To do the one character, and they only get one issue to do it. It has to be tighter.
Your one-offs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It's really good. I think that's probably my favorite of the Pony comics so far, is that one. I mean, the artwork is sharp as hell in it. The storytelling's really well done. And it's just, it's kind of heartwarming in a weird kind of way. I mean, comic book, I like the way the comics make me feel like the show does. You're smiling at the end of it, because it doesn't have to be Deadpool or Batman fighting it out. It's literally just, here's a cute story with some good artwork, here's a little bit of fan service for you, and we're done. And I don't know, just, I really hope the series becomes successful. So I guess, Laura, my final question to you is, when is a comic considered successful enough to get more books in its run?
Well, that is really, really depends on the publisher. I mean, for a small publisher like IDW, because they're kind of neck and neck with Image for the number three big publisher, but they're still, compared to Marvel and DC, quite small at the end of the day. For them, it's going to be a lot lower of a threshold than I think for like DC or Marvel. Marvel will cut a book if it doesn't sell 80,000 copies. Whereas, you know, something from IDW, if they can get away with 10,000 copies, they're probably laughing. So, I mean, and the Pony comic, I think the first issue run was 90,000 pre-orders.
Oh, wow.
Which is huge. It was one of the best-selling books that month, if not, like, only behind, like, Batman and, I think, Avengers versus X-Men.
Wow. So, hopefully, we will see more of this, because I like IDW books, so I'm hoping they support this.
It's really good because something like, and again, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Transformers, and it's classic Transformers, right? It allows you to kind of do another season of something that you might not have been able to do before, like the Jericho that you're reading.
I hope they free it up enough so they can introduce new villains and things that get introduced in season four, or maybe some of the comics might be scripts that weren't produced for seasons one and two.
I would like to see that.
Original creations would be really great to see, yeah.
So, anyway, guys, that's pretty much all we got really have a chance to really say on the comics, because unfortunately I have to produce another show in just a few minutes. But but before we go, we have to take a trip to the Ponyville gift shop and see what we're going to pick up this week. I think you're going to like what I got to say.
Yay!
Hey, guys, welcome back to the Ponyville gift shop. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well, guys, it's been a while since we've had a chance to check out anything new coming into Equestria, and while these things are just arriving in stores now, we are talking about the Funko Doctor Hooves and Fluttershy vinyl figures, which you can find at Hot Topic. Or if you feel like paying eBay prices, you can go there too. Well, like I said, they are based on Doctor Hooves and Fluttershy. Both are featuring more or less brand new molds. The version I got of Doctor Hooves was the 1-in-24 sparkly clear variant with the red tie. There was also one available with a green tie. I myself am not a huge fan of this particular variant. I'm not a big fan of these clear figures. I mean, you see this with stuff like say Halo figures when it's the active camouflage. Now, I have seen these things going for ridiculous prices online. I sold mine for about $50 to a fan of the show, just because, you know what, I'd rather have a Doctor Who that I can display and be proud of, rather than like, ooh, look, I have a collector's item, and I don't care. But these things are heavy. I'd say Fluttershy is probably the heaviest of the line so far, because she does have so much hair on her, and I'd argue that she's probably the best looking mold of the line. She has this really bright yellow to her, her hair is this nice pink, and the detail on the face is also, again, once again, very, very well done. If anything, I'd probably recommend, if you're going to start collecting these figures, if you're just starting now, you're likely to find Fluttershy and Hooves in probably greater quantities than the other ones, because these ones are fairly new. I'd recommend starting with Fluttershy. Like I said, it's a great mold. She looks great to display. And hopefully you won't get the 1 in 24 variant if that's what you're doing. But hey, if you're a collector and you like cool things, I suppose you could go for those too. Just if you order them from the Hot Topic website, I think you can order specifically the variant. But once again, I'm not entirely sure of that. When I ordered mine, I got the variant, but other people are reporting that they've just got a regular version as well. So these things retail for about $15 to $20, depending on where you go. On eBay, I've seen them go ridiculously high. So look around, shop around. You should be able to find a price that fits your time and budget. Well, guys, that's going to do us for the Ponyville Gift Shop this week. Now back to the show.
And that's how Equestria was made.
Many thanks to the Birdman Todd for that Ponyville Gift Shop. My voice just went a little gravelly there at the end. But listen, be sure to support your local shops. It's very important. And for my final thought, my voice still hasn't recovered. It's just what I'm going to sound like for the rest of the podcast. For my final thought, I'd just like to say, I loved comic books growing up. I was huge into Spider-Man. I had many, many comics. Many. But the My Little Pony comic series was the first comic books I had purchased in 15 years.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And now I'm buying the Jericho comic book. So maybe this is going to start to see...
Gateway drug.
A gateway. Yeah, exactly. For me. So Mike, why don't you take us home?
Absolutely. I mean, my final thoughts with this, much like you, Trevor, I tried to get back in the comics. I mean, when I lived in Hamilton, I tried getting into Green Lantern and Red Lantern, and I bought the trades about a year later, and I just kind of fell out of comics again. Now through my local shop, The Gauntlet, I said to him, you know what, Chris, put away My Little Pony comics. And while reading the books tonight, I noticed there's a new Ghostbusters series. So I might start to follow that. So yeah, ponies are bringing me back in the comic books. It's really nice to have something monthly reliable. And you know what? It's a cheap hobby. It's like $5, $10 a month, maybe.
It's $4.51 with tax if your store charges U.S. cover price with Ontario taxes.
How much are the bags and boards?
Depends on your store. At my store, the 25 cents a pop unless you're a subscriber. But okay. No, I manage a comic store, and this is the only monthly title I'm reading.
Wow, that really says something.
That sums it up right there.
So guys, go check out the IDW comic book series available at your local retailer. Though if you don't have one, you can go online, but you always should find a comic book shop in your area. They probably exist, unless you're in the middle of Alabama or something.
They have them there.
I'm probably going to get made fun of for saying the Alabama comment. But guys, we will be back probably first week in April. And what we're going to be talking about, I'm not entirely sure yet, guys. I guess we'll talk about that off air. But make sure to keep it tuned here to ThisWeekInGeek.net for more episodes of These Warriors Are Terrible, our many other podcasts that we produce. Once again, big thanks to our sponsor of OffworldDesigns.com. Many, many awesome t-shirts available at a fantastic price. And also, I meant to send this in the beginning of the show. I want to send a shout-out to my Reddit gift exchangee. I just finished the Pokemon gift exchangee. So, Cassandra Rex, I think I'm saying your name right. Hope you enjoy your Pokemon Blue. The shout-out's for you. So, guys, until next time on The Last Exit to Ponyville, we have been...
Laura!
And a slightly tipsy Trevor.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, friendship really is magic.
Aw, yeah.
You've been listening to ThisWeekInGeek.net's Last Exit to Ponyville. We want you to help make the show at least 20% cooler by your getting involved. Call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net, subject line Ponyville. We also have our official Facebook, which is facebook.com/lastexittoponyville. Subscribe to us through iTunes or any podcatcher. Thanks for listening to us and keep it locked to EquestriaDaily.com and ThisWeekInGeek.net. And until next show, remember, friendship is magic.